Thank you so much, my good brother. And I have to say, it's a great day for me as I see friends for 30 years that we worked together in radio, Irish, and her husband, and Alan, our French broadcaster. So thank you so much that we put 30 or 35 years together in radio, and Alan is still in San Leandro, right there, and Iris and the husband are in Washington State. So what a great time we have in radio at that time. I encourage you to open your Bible in Matthew's chapter 6 and verse 33. Somebody, you know, when you are on the air, people write to you, and I'm glad they do. And somebody said, why you are talking for 6-7 Sundays on the kingdom of God? Well, here's the reason. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 say this: but seek ye first, to all of us. When I was young, I had no idea. And when we are young, we have no idea, even though I grew up in a Christian home. I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, what in the world is the kingdom of God? All right? So that's why we move our Bible to Matthew 13. And for a few Sundays, we were able to study the kingdom of God, because Jesus said that in Matthew 13, and verse 1 said, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So Jesus had no pulpit, had no fancy place. He sit in a boat. I don't know how you talk from a boat. You shake a little bit, but he talked from the boat to the people. And what did he teach? And look at verse 3. He said, and he spake many things unto them in parables. And he said, behold, a sower, and so on. So he gave us 7 parables. And the first parable is about, how do you get into the kingdom of God? Many people ask me, how do we get into your church? I said, well, you just walk through the door. He said, no, he said, how do we become part of the church? And that's a good question. And Jesus answered that in Matthew 13, verse 23, if you look on it. He said, after the parable of the sower, he made a conclusion, and he gave us a clue how an individual could become a Christian. You know, one of the things that in 1965, when I came to America from Argentina, and having a mama Italian and my father from Spain, usually you come from a background of Roman Catholicism, where you have big cathedrals and so on. And so I walk in Alameda when I was there with the Navy. I walk in Alameda and I counted 17 different churches. Different names: Presbyterian Church, Baptist Church, whatever. They were all there. And I wonder, I said into my heart, I said, why we are no one, you know? Why so many names and so many things? But Jesus tell us how to become one. Here it is, verse 23. But he that received the seed in the good ground is he that hear the word, understand it, which bear fruit. In other words, in order to become a Christian, you could be a member of whatever name the church is, but the key is you need to hear the word of God, the Bible, and then you need to understand it. And that takes time. For some people take 10 years, for some people take one day, but it takes time. And when you understand the Bible says you believe it. And when you believe it, you become part of the church. So that's how you get into the kingdom. And then I like to talk to people, and so somebody said, what do we found in your church? Oh, I said, there you find two kinds of people. Here it is, verse, look at in chapter 13 and in verse 30, what the Bible said. There were in the church of God, the sower came in. There is a parable here, and there were tares, and there was a good fruit, and so the Bible makes a point. He said, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto the barn. In other words, in the church of God, you find wheat and tares, people who believe and people who don't. But it's not my job to judge you. It's not my job to put a finger on you. My job is to supply information from the Holy Book, whatever you need. And I'm sure that when you leave this place, you will have questions. And it's good. And I maybe have the answer or not. Otherwise, I look in the Bible. I like to supply that. But it's not my job. It's not the job of anybody in the church to judge the other person. It's God's job. And so that's a wonderful thing to do. What do you find in the kingdom of God? And what do you expect in the kingdom of God? Look at verse 31, another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field, and which indeed is the least of the seed, but when it grown, it is the greatest. In other words, I expected growth. No a number. Our church is packed today, almost no place to sit, but I don't expect that. What I expected is that we grow in the understanding of God, and that we grow in we call maturity. The book of James called you become a mature Christian. I remember, look back, all the mistakes I made, all the sins I had, and I said, Lord, I'm glad that you have love to forgive and to move me on, all right? So I expected personal growth in the church. And then, verse 44 that we studied last Sunday, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. In other words, God established the kingdom. God bought that treasure in heaven. Now today, I have something that the ladies like, pearls. I remember the first time I bought for Raquel necklace, pearls necklace, you know. And you know what the seller did? He put a black thing on the table, and then you put the pearls over there. And of course, the pearl looks good. So my question is, are these pearls real? And you cannot tell the difference for one who is real. Only the price can tell you, all right? We're going to talk about pearls, and our brother have read verse 45 and verse 46 over there. Now, the merchant here, let me read it again. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. Okay, the merchant is Jesus, all right? And the Bible said in verse 45, seeking good pearls, and the pearls are the church. So here is a parable. He's telling us how God is seeking for his people. You know, if you read the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs, there are many lessons given in the Bible drawn from nature. Among those lessons are the ant. I think I have a sermon, work like an ant, all right? The bee, the eagle, and Peter's rooster, remember? And Balaam's donkey. And I would like to use some of these, and today we're going to use the pearl as an example, all right, of what really is good. And so we're going to draw today as many pictures as the time allow me, otherwise we are off the air, from the perils. And there are many pictures, but I hope we go through the scriptures and we see that the Bible clearly said here, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking good pearl. That's the church of God. That's the kingdom of heaven. All right? Now, here are the pictures of the pearl, and I show you the scriptures to prove it. Now, the first picture is this. When you have a pearl necklace, you never think about it, but pearls is the product of suffering, all right? A pearl is formed when an oyster gets a grain of sand trapped in the soft flesh of the oyster, called the mantle in technology, which is really a shell. Now, the piece of sand or any object initiates some irritation in the tender oyster, all right? And it responds, the oyster defend themselves, respond to the grain of sand by provoking and putting a layer of substance called nacre, which is basically saliva and calcium. So the oyster release, when they have something inside, release saliva and calcium and cover that thing. whatever that object is, and cover and cover. And it is an amazing thing. You look into the pearl and you say, how precious it is, how wonderful. But the product was made out of saliva and the natural nectar that comes from the pearl. So the pearl, when you have a pearl in your hand, remember, it is a product of pain, all right? Now, the church is a product of pain. Let me show it to you. Let's go, put one hand in Matthew, and go with me to Isaiah chapter 53 in the Old Testament. There is a passage in the Old Testament that relates to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Many people have and do understand the sufferings of our Lord, but that's how you and I became a Christian and enjoy the kingdom of God, because someone suffered for you. Look at here, chapter 53, verse 1. Who had believed the report, say Isaiah, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smiting of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's the sufferings of Christ. He took our place. No doubt he took our place. In the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, on the first chapter, and on verse 5, there is a mention of that. In Revelation 1, verse 5 said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loves us and washes us from our sins in his own blood. You got the picture? If you are a Christian, it's because Christ's blood has washed away your sins. In other words, someone paid in your place. And that's how you become part of the kingdom of God. Somebody suffered for you. You enjoy the pearls next, and I don't know how many pearls are in a neck or whatever, but remember, each pearl means that the oyster suffered in order to produce that pearl. And if you enjoy today Christianity and you enjoy Christ and you pray to God and Christ is your intercessor and Christ is your high priest, and then it's because Christ has paid for our sins. And so Christianity is the result of somebody suffering for him. Now, secondly, the pearl is formed from something worthless. You don't like this. Don't get upset with me. That's what it is, all right? The pearl is formed from something worthless. The pearl is formed from all types of junk, pieces of sand, bone fragments, of dead fish, whatever comes into the pearl, and then the pearl is formed. Now comes the hard part. We are the church, and in us, there is nothing good about it. Show it there. Paul writes, St. Paul writes in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, and he tells the people of Greece that they should rejoice and be happy, because this is the state, this is how they were before they were Christians. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2, and you have quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wait a minute, he's writing to people who are alive. What did he say? You are dead. You know, because when we do not know God, we are dead. When we don't know something, we are dead concerning, that's the expression of the Greek language. If you don't know something, you are dead concerning that knowledge. And so he's talking about that. He said, you are dead in trespasses and sin. And look at our past life. Wherein in time past, You walk according to the course of this world. You live like an everyday living. You have no idea. According to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all, and he included, you notice that? The Paul included himself. We all have our conversations in the King James, our way of life, in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, there is no difference. There is no good people and bad people. There is no special people or these people. We all are in the same boat. I like this church because you have all kinds of Asian people, all kinds of nationalities. It's just beautiful. And so there is no one nationality before the other. There is no one race above the other. We are all the same. We're all the same. We all have been in sin. We are born in sin. And the Bible tells us clearly here in a marvelous way that the church is made of something worthless. That's me. I was a sinner. So when I'm a sinner and I don't know God, I'm worthless before God. Oh, you may be a doctor. You may be an engineer. You know, that I don't mean that. I don't mean that you are no good. I mean that when God looks around and if God does not see Christ in you, we are worthless. If we had no faith in Christ, we are worthless. That's amazing. So the pearl was formed from something worthless. So we, don't we? We all came from sin. No one of, even though, you know, my grandmother, you know this story, read the Bible for me and taught me, and she was a Muslim before, and she became converted, and went to church, forcing me. I don't want to go to church. They spanked me bad, and I'm glad they did. Today, my mother will be in jail because she will be in the street, and I go back, and phew, in the face. Her Italian hands were really fast. and really, I remember that. I thank God for that today. I hated them, but I thank God. Now, the pearl is a compose. You see, a pearl, that's not one unit, all right? There are at least three materials used to make a pearl. The offending material is called in technology. That means the little sand or the little rotten bone over there. Then there is saliva from the oyster, and then calcium. So the pearl is a compose. It's just not made of one specific material, like a diamond. It's just a compose. It has three materials. And so the church have two kinds of composition. First is composed of all kind of people from varying backgrounds and many things. And let me show you in the last book of the Bible, in chapter 22, and in verse 17, what the Bible said. At the very end of your Bible, chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride said, "Come." Let him that hears say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. You got it? So the church is not made of Europeans, is not made of Asian people, is not made of these or the other, it's made whosoever will. Whosoever have come to believe, let him take the water of life freely. So it's not one. That's one thing. The whole body of Christ, I love it. People say, "Do you love your church?" Well, I'm almost 33 years here, so I love this church. But the Lord has changed it. Before there were Americans and Germans, and then little by little they came the Asian people and they took over. And we got to watch for the Koreans. But it's amazing how the Lord, the people say, "You have Filipino in your?" "Yes, I have Filipino." "You have it?" "Yeah, I have this." And they asked me how they live together. Now, I never understood that until I watched the news from Europe. You go to Germany and then boom, into the Asia. Because America doesn't say anything. They are very politicians in the news. But the European, they tell you like it is. So you listen, and boy, there is friction between Japan and this and the other. "I want this little piece of water." "And oh, I want this." And there's always fightings in their mind and in political affairs. And I'm so glad they went in the choir. I see the choir all praising one unit. Why? Christ. Christ has put it together. So the church has different backgrounds like the Pharaoh. But we, as human beings, have three parts. Now, medical doctors do not know this, except Dr. McCormick and I, all right? Here is what it is. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look in verse 23. We are made of three things. And you can, as I read it, you can see in your mind that this is possible. He's going to say greetings to the church. Again, he's talking to Greek people who are very philosophical. And this is what he says. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God. Now, here are the three parts of a human being. Your Holy Spirit. You don't see it, but you have a full spirit. And soul, that's your personality. When you have problems, you go to the psychologist and they try to deal with your personality. Your soul, that's what you are. And body, that's how you look on it. So here it is, the human being has the spirit, the soul, and the body. And so we are a compound, and as a compound, we need to respond to God properly. And it is our spirit that is in connection with God's spirit. And it's our soul that understand God and then becomes new. And that's the part. So we are a composed, and the peril is a composed. Now, the peril grows gradually. Takes a lot of time. After irritation lodges itself inside the oyster, it can take up to 3 years to produce the pearls. And in artificial creation of pearls, they know the time, but when they collect it from the ocean, they don't know. But if you have it in a place, they know how long will be. But the most precious pearls are the ones who are 3 or 4 years in the making. Now, this is interesting. God has been gradually building his church in the world. Remember at the beginning, there were 12 apostles, and you only hear about 3 or 4. That's how the church started. It has been growing for 2,000 years, but only as the Holy Spirit makes convictions and where. Remember that we are compound of three, the spirit, the soul, and the body. The Holy Spirit has to convict your spirit and rescue your soul. Now look at here. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 6, and in verse 44, the Bible tells us about it. John Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 44. Look at what the Bible says. John said this, that Jesus explained. These are the words of Jesus. No man can come to me, said Jesus, except the Father which has sent him draw him. And I will raise him up on the last day. As you read the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I talked to a lot of engineers and they tell me, well, you don't understand physics or something. You say, how can Jesus save? And they bring books of engineering to study me certain reactions of an electrical shock. But I tell you something, the only book that you need is the Bible, not a book of engineering. I'm not talking about engineering. Now, here is what the key is. You need God to touch your spirit because your spirit has been damaged at the moment of sin at creation. When you were created with a birth defect. And that birth defect is that you do not believe in God. If I leave you alone and never tell you about God, naturally no mankind of any nature or any race will grow up alone and say, oh, where is God? No, we will not. And so therefore, that's the damage that we have in birth. We have been shut off. And God is in business to rescue us. And if we come to Jesus, it's because he do it. Now, there are many people coming. Yes, there is a book in the Bible in the New Testament. It's a book of history. If you want to know the first 30 years of the church, you read the book of Acts. So let's go to the book of Acts at the very beginning in chapter 2 and see if the church really grow. Here it is, Acts chapter 2 and the very last verses 46 and 47. And look at how the church grew. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. And they are the people that were with the disciples, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, again God, added to the church daily such as will be saved. So that's the story. At the very beginning, before the church started, Jesus explained that the Father had to do it. And how the church grew up? Well, there were only 12 disciples. Then we read in the book of Acts, there were 120 scared to death because the Jews were against them. And then God blossomed them into 3,000, remember? And then now we have the assurance of the Bible that the church grow gradually in a mighty and wonderful way. 2,000 years later, the church is everywhere. England was the worst and the worst place for going to church. The missionaries went over there and conquered England and Ireland, and then came to the Americas, and the Americas were evangelized. And so the church moves on in time, and it's amazing. So the pearl grows gradually, and so the church. Now, the pearl is a hidden work. You know, the pearl grows hidden inside the oyster under the water, and no one can see it, so no other fish would like to eat it. And so it's amazing. No fish like oysters. You like oysters? The fish don't like oysters. They leave it alone. Amazing how God designed it. I read it that no fish on the ocean will like touch an oyster. But if they will see the pearl inside, out of curiosity, they will try it. But the oyster is close, and the pearl is growing, is protected. So it's a hidden work, all right? Nobody can see it. You don't see how the mechanism works. So no one can actually see the growth of the Lord's church. They can see the visible, the local church, but not the invisible. As I went in Alameda and I look all these churches, I can see the visible church, but I don't see the inside church. That means you and me. That is the invisible church. It is a matter of the heart. In truth, one can be certain of no one else by themselves. You know that? I cannot say that person is a Christian, but you have to be responsible. I'm a Christian or not? That's the question. Am I a Christian, yes or not? I cannot tell you who is a Christian and say, okay, now you are a Christian. But you can. Somebody asked me yesterday, can you bless somebody and make that person a Christian? I said, well, I know what you mean. Because my grandmother was a Roman Catholic, and they have that in the protocol of the church. But that's not in the Bible. He said, well, you don't have the power. Oh, I wish I had the power. I'd make a lot of money if I had the power. But but see, that's what comes to human. That's God protecting us, don't we? That the church is not a human institution. It's a divine institution. No one can actually see the growth of the church. And the Bible has a scary verse in the Bible. It is in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 12. It's a very interesting verse because makes us think carefully. And Paul writes to the church of Philippi in chapter 2 and in verse 12. And Paul said this, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, work out your life from your salvation. Have your style of life showing to the people that you are a saved person. So an individual who knows God behaves according to the requirements of God in the Bible. Not amazing? One lady, you know, when people ask for membership, I visit privately to see. And one lady at the beginning of the church, Russell Goodman and I were visiting this person. And the person said, I'd like to be a member of your church. Will you handle to me the manual how to behave? And I always have extra Bibles in my car. So I got the Bible outside and I handed the Bible to the lady. And she said, no, I just want to say, you do this, you don't do this. You do this, you don't do this. You know, it is no such a thing. Oh, there are churches. I know a church in town that do this. Mormons do this, and so all the denominations, they have a book of confidence, they call it, and you do this and this. But you know, here is the book. I said, how do I know where it is? I said, it's very simple. Yeah? Yeah, you read it. And I have colors. And I mark in green what I can do. And red, what is sin. All right? And then yellow, be happy. All right? I just have fun reading. But I learn. I have learned. And this is so important. The Christianity is the hidden work. God inside you and nobody see it. And you become a Christian, you're new. And little by little, you read the Bible and get conviction. How do you do that? Very simple. You read it and one day you say, oh, yeah, that makes sense to me. Oh, yeah. But if you don't read the Bible, there is no way that you can grow in God's kingdom. Because you don't get the information. It's all written here. Buy any translation you like it. Some translation that you understand it and you are willing to obey. And I tell you, it's just beautiful. So the peril is a hidden work, and so the church. I preach it. There are people in on the airways. You have to see the letters of people writing to me and back to me, asking me deep questions. So where in the world you hear that? Say, oh, you preach that in such and such a day, and I have to go to my archives and look what I said. It's just amazing. It's a hidden work of God. And so that's why I cannot judge people. I cannot say, oh, this is a better Christian. No, we're all in the same boat. We're growing. We're growing. But please remember, the work of growing is not just 1 hour here in church. It comes when you sit down at home and you spend 10 minutes reading the Bible. Dr. Billy Graham, I had the pleasure to meet with him in 1988, I think it was. I asked him a question. I said, Dr. Graham, what you did, what principle you follow, that you kept yourself pure and holy in your ministry? Oh, Gabriel, he said, it's very simple. Oh, little boy, he said, here it is. Read the book of Proverbs every day. Like today is 16, you read chapter 16. Tomorrow 17, you read chapter 17. When you finish, have 31 chapters. When you finish, you start all over again. And you do this until it's all embedded in your head and you will be protected from the enemy. What a great counsel. And I remember Romulo told me, he said, when you say that, he said, I just start doing that and it's amazing what you learn. Just one book of the Bible. All right? All right, the pearl is a hidden work of God. The pearl is a valuable object, okay? Pearls worth a fortune. And two pearls were sold in Greece for 1,875,000 ounces of fine silver. At that time, silver was $5 an ounce. And was $9,375,000. Today, you know, I don't know what is silver, but today is way up over there. So it will be in the billion, maybe. Just amazing how valuable they are. So the church is worth a fortune to God. He paid the highest price a person can pay for the church. I'll show it to you. First Peter, the Apostle Peter, in chapter 1, And in verse 18 and 19 tell us how much God paid for the church. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much, said the Apostle Peter, as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Now let me tell you in common language. There are a lot of people that I invite at McDonald's to come to church. And you know what they said? Well, how much money do I have to put in the offering? Not amazing? They tell you right straight. How much money you want in the offering? Okay, read it again. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. See? Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without a spot, that fulfilling the Old Testament requirement of the Jewish requirement. God gave his son everything he had for the church. The church, how much cost the church. It's extremely valuable. See, the church is a place where your children, the next generation, learn the things of God. I learned it in the church. I don't want it. As I told you, I got a spanking even when I was sitting. In South America at that time, the parents, the neighbors, everybody can spank you. You know? I was walking 6 blocks from the bus to my house. And if I don't behave right walking, neighbor will spank me. And that was legal. Today they will be all in jail. But it's just amazing how they shape me. So when I was in the Navy, I knew what to do. When they said, stand, I stand. I don't expect that they shake me. It's just amazing. A pearl is a valuable object. God has given everything he has. Everything he has. He gave his son. The only son. Finally, the pearl is indivisible. The pearl is the only gem known to man that cannot be cut. Wow. The pearl cannot be cut. Large diamonds are cut and made into a smaller, more valuable diamonds. But the pearl cannot be divided. To cut a pearl is to destroy the pearl. The pearl will die. They will become all black. You know something? The pearl is indivisible, and the church is a beautiful thing. Here we are, a collection of sinners saved by the great grace of God and headed to the city called heaven in the Bible. All right? So we cannot be divided. In the best text that really years ago when I was on radio, I was reading the Bible in Spanish, and this verse caught my attention in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 in verse 10. It's just amazing how it really caught my attention. How important is that we be one person in the church. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. See? That we all talk the same thing. All right? And that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And you know, the only thing that can keep us together is this book called the Bible. That's the only thing that can keep us together. As we read it, you will understand one verse in one way, and you other people understand the verse in another way. I just said, take your time. I know I always write, so take your time. And they know me, so we all laugh together. And so. But I like to listen. I said, well, now tell me your opinion. And I listen carefully, you know. I the priest in town, he knows me because I help the Spanish in McDonald's. And many times he comes. At the beginning, he came disguised like a civil, and the people were talking to me, and they're making signs. They say, how are you? You want a coffee? I pay you a coffee. It was a priest. I don't know them. He told me, he said, you're doing a good job, but we have some difference. I said, I'm sure we have. I said, but if you read your Bible, and I read my Bible, and we ask God to give us wisdom, we should be one. Well, I'm sorry to say that the Catholic Church limited the ability of the priest to understand the scripture. They have a canon, and they have to understand the scripture through the light of the canon, because other degrees have authority. I have an authority over me, and it's God through the Holy Spirit. And if I don't say the truth, the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and you will know it. That is the key. But it is amazing how God put a parable, a pearl, to demonstrate what the church is all about. It's not made by man, it's made by God. And it's made in the hearts of people. So I think we've seen enough to know that the Lord called the church a pearl of great price. So I have a couple of questions for you. And the questions are very simple. Are you a member of Christ's church? I mean, not this church, not Bethel Baptist or any other church, a member of that church that belonged to God. Are you a member of that church? Have God injure your heart with the knowledge of Christ Jesus as your Savior, that He paid for you. He loves you so much that when Eve sinned, and that sin carry on, because the Bible said we're all sinners, and when that sin carry on, it is not baptism that saves you, but it is the mercy of God that He give you the knowledge that Jesus died. You believe it, and now you are part of the body of God. We call it, in the Baptist world, we call it, are you saved? Sometimes when people do not know, they can ask me, saved from what? And that's a fair question. And saved from hell, if I'm going to answer that question that way. Yeah, okay. If you are saved, then are you a member of a local church? Do you associate with believers? They imply, I believe in God. And I tell people, you can be a member of my church or a member of another church. What I want you is to know God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then you become a pearl of great price. And I'm confident that I have believed through the prayers of my grandparents and the family. I was a super rascal. But God reached me. So if He reached me, I tell people, then He can reach anybody. So the key is this. In order to have faith in God, pick up a Bible. You don't have one, get one from the pew, take it with you. And start reading. Start reading the book of Proverbs. Start reading the book of Psalms. And read it. You will not understand at the beginning anything. Some things will, but not. If you have psychological questions, read Ecclesiastes. There was a king who has all kinds of problems, but he understood God. And he was saved. Thank God for the beautiful pearl that He has made. It's you and it's me. And it's so beautiful. So don't judge anybody in any other church, bad or good. I look to people and I see people, pearls, and they prove that they are not. So I love them. So may we thank God today for make us the pearls of God. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson that comes from the Bible. The kingdom of God is so complete and so beautiful. And it's made of people like me, sinners, saved by the grace of the living God. We thank you, Father, that we came to believe that Jesus died for my sins. And He rose again. And one day I will be with Him. We thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ have made all of us pearls. I pray that each one of us may have a true conviction. A true conviction that we belong to you through Jesus' death and resurrection. In Jesus, I pray. Amen.